The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania today. Wherever you are, that's where we are. I'm Reverend Larry Pierce, minister at Thomas Paine, and so glad that you could join us today. If you happen to be visiting us for the first time, you'll notice that there will appear in the chat a link to our virtual guest book. Please fill that out at any time during the service. It gives us a chance to find out a little bit about you, to connect with you, and also to give you some more information about our fellowship and our programs and so forth. So wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender, identity, or expression, we welcome you here today. Whether you like classical music, or whether you like big band music, whether you like rock and roll or jazz, you are welcome here today. It just so happens today, however, we're going to hear a lot of jazz, and so fortunate to have in our service this morning music from the Willie Sordillo Ensemble. Willie is a friend of mine. We worked together for many years on some statewide and national projects together, and he's a jazz musician, and the jazz group that he's part of, the Willie Sordillo Ensemble, often plays at the Old South Church in Boston. They do a Thursday jazz service at 6 o'clock every Thursday, and they've given us permission to use their music this morning. So our opening words this morning are opening words in song and in image, and they will be presented to us by the Willie Sordillo Ensemble.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smile's returning to their faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Sun, sun, here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, 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 here it comes. that ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I said it's all right.
Good morning. I'm Linda Weaver, president of the board here at Thomas Paine, and I'm going to light our chalice today and say a few words. As a congregation, we want to acknowledge that we mark 1 year since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. During this year, we've experienced so many losses, the deaths of so many, those that we know and those we will never know, the missed opportunities to gather with others for special occasions, holidays, and just everyday gatherings, the change in how our young ones attend school, how we do our work, and even if we continue to have work. We mourn as a nation, as a world, and as a congregation. We also mark today the fact that we have not met in our fellowship building for almost a year as well. Yet we are still a community that gathers together, that worships and meets online every week of this past year. So before we light our chalices or candles this morning, make sure you're in gallery view so we can see each other. Let us pause to mark all that we've experienced and have come to know this past year. And let us celebrate the relentless spirit within us and among us. This new song by Reverend Dan Shantz, Carry the Flame, includes the chorus of the words of which I will use to light this chalice. Join in the chorus if you want. It appears in the order of service. Carry the flame, raise it high, send its beacon through the sky. Keep it strong and shining through pain. Let it rise and let it grow. Let it light the world you know. Let it glow. Carry the flame. Now let us light our individual candles or chalices if you have one, as we listen to this song and join in the chorus, which is in the order of service. Let's view each other as the chalices are lit.
You ever knew the only thing that you could do was carry the flame. Sickness spreading through the land, you held your spirit in your hands and carried the flame. When storms and sorrows gathered round, you raised your head and you stayed your ground. You carried the flame. Through endless days of the hardest living, you kept on loving, kept on giving. You kept on and carried the flame. The flame, raise it high. Send its beacon through the sky. Keep it strong and shining through the pain. Let it rise and let it grow. Let it light the world you know. Let it glow. Carry the flame. And when the day is done at last, we take on the spark you've passed. And carry the flame from hand to hand. We send it on, the kindling hope of a rising dawn. In a song, we carry the flame. Carry the flame, raise it high. Send its beacon through the sky. Keep it strong and shining through the pain. Let it rise and let it grow. Let it light the world you know. Let it glow. Carry the flame. Our nurses, doctors, teachers, we are children, parents, preachers, and we all carry the flame. We are scientists and cargo packers, farmers, singers, grocery stackers, young and old. We carry the flame. Carry the flame, raise it high. Send its beacon through the sky. Keep it strong and shining through the pain. Let it rise and let it grow. Let it light the world you know. Let it glow. Carry the flame. Let it glow. Carry the flame.
And now I will light the peace lamp. Your response will be, and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us, and with all the people of the world.
Our gathering song is "We Laugh, We Cry." The lyrics will appear on the screen, so join in when you are ready.
Imagine
Indeed, we have found a joy in being together. So our theme this morning is our lives as improvisational art, improvisational jazz. And I've chosen a reading this morning to focus that theme from the writings of Mary Catherine Bateson. Some of you may know that she is the daughter of the famous linguist Gregory Bateson and the even more famous anthropologist, Margaret Mead. This is from her book, Composing a Life. In a stable society, composing a life is somewhat like throwing a pot or building a house in traditional form. The materials are known, the hands move along familiar tasks, the fit of the completed whole in common life is understood. I like to think of men and women as artists of their own lives, working with what comes to hand through accident or talent to compose and recompose a pattern in time that expresses who they are and what they believe in, making meaning even as they are studying and working and raising children, creating and recreating themselves. So now we'll listen to the next jazz piece by the Willie Sordillo Ensemble. By the way, I forgot to mention, you can go to the jazz service at Old South Church in Boston online. I wasn't expecting that you were going to drive there, so I should have mentioned that earlier. So as we listen to this, take a moment to reflect on the composing of your own life in whatever melodious or not so melodious ways that your life has occurred. Embrace it all, since in jazz, it all becomes part of the music of our lives.
Thank you.
So my topic today is life as improvisational jazz. Today we have spent some time in the service to mark the 1 year anniversary since the declaration of this pandemic and since we have been in what could be called a temporary exile from our fellowship building. We can't help but feel within this experience a mixture of emotions, grief and sadness, exhaustion, and also the anticipation and the hope of things changing and shifting soon. When I chatted with one of our older members this week on the phone, who, like many of us, have become weary of this pandemic with all of its disruptions on our common life and relationships, I couldn't help but think of these verses of the Psalms. How long, O Lord, or maybe how much longer, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? She probably would be quite surprised to know that she inspired me to think of the Psalms. But anyway, commentators on the Psalms often describe this pattern of the Psalms, the pattern of the now and the not yet, or the already and the not yet. The Psalms speak of despair and grief and questioning and doubt. And then within the same song, just a few verses later, the psalm can then begin to speak of joy or confidence and celebration and praise. So in this particular psalm, after all of the moaning and groaning of the first few verses, a few verses later comes these verses. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So I think we actually have been living out this pattern of the already and the not yet over the last year. It's been like a seesaw over the past year from one kind of feeling to another. Sometimes feeling hopeful and sometimes not feeling so hopeful. Sometimes feeling like a shift will occur and other times wondering how long will it take. If you're not sure how you should feel about all of the things that you've been experiencing this past year, I guess the best advice that I can give you comes from this pattern within the Psalms. Feel it all. Feel it all simultaneously. Feel all the contradictory feelings. Just let it all be your own experience in this complicated and complex time that we are in. The contemporary Buddhist teacher Lama Suri Das put it this way: all life contains both joy and sorrow. We would like to concentrate on the joy and forget the sorrow, but how much more spiritually skillful it is to use everything we meet in life as grist for the mill of awakening. So there's nothing sanctimonious, I don't think, in this particular Buddhist teaching, since over this past year, we've had no other choice but to experience it all the feelings, as they say. Our grit has come to us in unanticipated and unexpected ways, and we've had to adapt and to awaken in spite of ourselves. As in jazz, we've taken the given of our circumstances, and we've had to improvise from then almost everything. Everything that we do, school or work or shopping, going to church, socializing, you name it, it's all been one improvisation after another. And along the way, we've had to experience real anguish, real pain, real angst, and significant loss. And along the way, we have experienced some resourcefulness and some resilience as well that we may not even know that we had possible in us and among us. And if we strain our vision far enough on the horizon, we begin to see some reasons for our resilience. Some new buds of possibility are pushing through the soil like relentless crocuses to remind us to keep striving, to keep hoping, to keep embodying our commitments, even when the results of those commitments are not yet fully evident. May we continue to draw strength from one another. Eventually, in the coming months, more of us will begin to imagine what we will be doing when we are fully vaccinated. We will be looking to unsuspend what has been on hold for so long. We are foreseeing get-togethers or trips or just roaming around in less encumbered ways and less encumbered by worry, and maybe with just a little less defensive or protective armor. It helps our spirits to know what's on the horizon, even when it's not totally happening yet. I could resonate with the music of that jazz version of Here Comes the Sun that were our opening words this morning. It contains the melodies of longing as well as realization, of anguishing as well as hoping. I could resonate with the words as well, and maybe you too could as well. Maybe you could join in the hopefulness of these verses. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right, little darling. It's been a long, cold, lonely winter, little darling. It seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right. Little darling, the smiles returning to the faces, returning to our faces. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. So let's savor our hopefulness even now, even in the midst of our watchfulness. Let's keep encouraging one another as we have over this past year. And we have to continue to be resilient, drawing upon our resources of faith, and reminding ourselves of the theme for this year for Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, chosen by our board: building a reservoir of strength through connection, reflection, and service. These aren't empty words. These are what many of us have been doing during the days, the weeks, and the months of this past year. Sometimes it's only as we strive to embody our deepest commitments that we realize them in the doing. Think about what you've done over the past year to embody at least one commitment. I mean, think about it now. Even write it down or write it in the chat if you want to. So think about what your completion of this sentence would be. I have been a commitment to. Or I am a commitment to. For me, that commitment has been as simple as I have been a commitment to showing up. On the surface, it might look to anybody else like I've been going to a lot of Zoom meetings. I mean, a lot of Zoom meetings over and above those that I attend for this fellowship, or all the other Zoom meetings that I attend in the various contexts that comprise my day-to-day work and life. Underneath all of this activity is that commitment that I will identify as showing up. So resilience is often understood as like the capacity to bounce back, but there's something about that bouncing back definition that doesn't quite just fit for me, because it sounds like a one and done kind of phenomenon. Like I've bounced back, I am resilient. Instead, I prefer to think of resilience as the ability to return again and again to what matters. In other words, to cultivate resilience, we must practice continuing to compose our lives as we go along. And along the way, we are provided some opportunities to express our commitments once more. The commitments that sustain us, the commitments that ground us, the commitments that give meaning to our days. Over and over again, we have the opportunities to cultivate resilience by showing up, embodying our commitments, and finding new grounding, new sustaining virtues within ourselves that can give meaning to us and to our lives. So I've been drawing inspiration over the last few weeks from Mary Catherine Bateson's writings in her book, Composing a Life, and her more recent book, Composing a Further Life, which she focuses on aging. And in her book, the one on Composing a Life, she writes, if your opinions and commitments appear to change from year to year or decade to decade, what are the more abstract underlying convictions that have held steady that might never have become visible without the surface variation? In other words, whatever may seem like random juggling to anyone else, juggling from one thing to another, probably has within it those activities, all of those activities, some underlying convictions. It's worth our reflecting on what are the commitments that sustain me? What are the commitments that I attempt sometimes steadily and sometimes not so steadily to live out and embody in my life? The jazz musician, Mary Lou Williams, she put it this way. I'm praying through my fingers when I play. I make it through sticking with my work and thinking that everything is going to be okay, which it will be. That is her conviction, which she can only experience as she actually embodies it in her playing. Mary Catherine Bateson uses the metaphor of jazz and other arts of improvisation to represent the ways that we put together our lives. She writes, life is an improvisatory art. We combine familiar and unfamiliar components in response to new situations, following an underlying grammar and an evolving aesthetic. Perhaps you can identify with what she's trying to say here, as she further describes it this way. My own life is a sort of desperate improvisation in which I was constantly trying to make something coherent from conflicting elements to fit rapidly changing settings. At times I pictured myself frantically rummaging through the refrigerator and the kitchen cabinets, convinced that somewhere I would find the odds and the ends that could be combined at the last minute to make a meal for an unexpected guest, hoping to be rescued by serendipity. How many of you identify with that particular metaphor for how it might be for many of us? We take the bits and the pieces of our lives as if we are searching through whatever we have available in the metaphorical refrigerator and kitchen cabinets of our actual living. And we hope at any moment that we are called upon to do so, that we can make a meal of it. Maybe we too have been rescued more often by serendipity than we care to acknowledge, by things just coming together in some pattern of meaning and purpose. Some sense making occurs in spite of us, and we can receive the gift of that serendipity. Serendipity is often the case in jazz as well. All I have to say to you is thank God for serendipity, which prompts me to add that sometimes we might find ourselves mumbling, where is serendipity when I need it? How do I bring all the disparate parts of my life and activity together into some more meaningful whole? How would these various experiences and aspirations and gifts and skills and hopes and struggles come together in some as yet unseen new pattern? Think about it for a moment for yourself. Have there been those times of serendipity that have occurred in your own life? Take a moment and reflect upon those moments of when things have seemed to have come together in some new and unexpected way. Let these memories be like embers that still are lighting and warming who you are in your own soul. You see, we, however, can't rest on the serendipities of the past. We still have to live, to struggle, and to, as Mary Lou Williams reminds us, do our own equivalent of praying through our fingers when we play and making it through, sticking with my work and thinking that everything is going to be okay, which it will be, she declares. We can live in the possibility that something new can emerge, and as we improvise our way through life, that's our hope. More than ever, we are at a time when the clear path forward is not immediately obvious to us. During this time of a pandemic, which we've never been in before, we have to pave the way, we have to improvise, we have to find some new path. The poet Antonio Machado writes, "Wanderer, your footsteps are the path and nothing else. Wanderer, there is no path. The path is made by walking." Another way to say this is that whatever our age or stage in life, we still have to compose the music of our lives as we are playing it. That's where jazz comes in. This composing of our lives is very much like the practice of jazz. We start with a familiar tune, familiar song, familiar notes, and then we riff off of it. Our riffing, our improvising leads to some new pattern that emerges. And then we take that and follow it wherever it will lead us. Jazz also reminds us that we don't have to do all of this alone. Bateson reminds us that jazz exemplifies artistic activity that is at once individual and communal. Performance that is both repetitive and innovative. Each participant sometimes provides the background support, and each participant sometimes is flying free in that ensemble. And we've experienced in jazz that we've been listening today that jazz is always about the ensemble. What happens when musicians come together in a band or we come together in a congregation is about what happens in our coming together that can't happen merely when we are alone. Just in jazz or in our lives or in the actual living of them, are about the already known and the not yet known, are about what the individual provides and what happens in the community, are about supporting what is and being free enough to discover what wants to be. So it is in our life. If nothing else during this pandemic, I hope that it's been grist for the mill that has awakened us, even in painful but also reassuring ways, that we've come to understand ever more clearly, practically, and directly our interdependence. As Unitarian Universalists, we affirm a respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. In addition to our connection to the earth and how we often understand this particular principle, it also affirms our deeper connection to one another. Mary Catherine Bateson argues from a scientific or anthropological point of view that our hyper one-sided dedication to competition and individualism is a kind of a slanted misperception of the world. She invites us to understand that at our core, we are cooperative and intricately interconnected. And this for me is the foundational understanding from which our commitments to the future should be fashioned and be composed. She talks about how multiple small spheres of personal experience both echo but also enable events that are shared more widely. That they are expressions of moments in a world in which we now recognize that really no microcosm is completely separate. No tide pool, no forest, no family, no nation. And indeed, the knowledge drawn from the life of some single organism or community, or from the intimate experience of an individual, may prove to be relevant to the decisions that affect the health of a city or the peace of the world. This, I think, is what we are awakening to at this time, ever more than perhaps we ever have before. So if anything has been learned over this past year, it should be this: we are interconnected. If anything has happened over the past year and all of its loss, its angst and its anguish, it should be this growing consciousness that we need in order to move forward is different than the one from which we are emerging from. It's a consciousness and a practical understanding of our interdependence. So as we move from the now and the not yet, from the here to the there, I feel that there can be a number of central questions that each of us could ask ourselves and commit ourselves to. Some grounding questions, not just for ourselves as individuals, but some communal questions as well. For me, as we move forward, I think that we need to articulate our larger commitments, not just our personal ones, the larger on the horizon commitments, and not just the immediate ones. I want you to imagine that I'm throwing out a grappling hook into the future, and that each of us are finding some grounding commitment in a much broader question. For me, that question, for example, would be, what kind of world do we want to create for our children? Before we snap back to some imagined normal, I want to encourage us to steady ourselves also in that commitment that will guide our collective actions as we move forward. I don't know what the responses will be to that question, but I think we owe it to ourselves, to the future and to future generations, to stay with that question, to improvise our way forward to a world that will be different because we took the time to pause, to reorient, and to reground ourselves. So we learn a lot through some of the disappointing experiences of life, as well as the joyous ones. We learn a lot from joy and from sorrow. And in closing, I want to share this story from the great jazz performer, Louis Armstrong. He was disturbed by the treatment of the Karnofskys. It's a family of New Orleans Jews who he worked with, worked for during his growing up. And they treated him in a humane manner, and they helped feed him and they clothed him, as well as lending him the money to purchase his first instrument, a cornet. He noticed that the family was treated poorly by the Christian Society of New Orleans. In fact, they were treated every bit as harshly as the African Americans were treated at that time. Armstrong always displayed an affinity with Judaism, often wearing a Star of David as well as a cross, as his way of symbolizing his commitment to them, to that family, and to the kindness towards all. And so he wrote, there is the spiritual element that has guided me, that underlies this song that he wrote, that was recorded, I think, in 1969, What a Wonderful World. He wrote, the song is like a God's eye view of the world, one that acknowledges God in each person and or sees the potential in every living being. That's different than the Pollyanna kind of viewpoint many of us have attributed to that song over the years, because we didn't know the story behind it. The very act of singing the song with his weathered voice, betraying the world weariness of one who has seen the many horrible things that human beings can do to one another, was Armstrong's way of choosing instead to affirm the beauty in life. So too may we find our own song. May we find ways to take it all, the joy and the sorrow, and to affirm the potential and the possibility that are present even in the unknown and the uncertain before us. So may it be. So this is the time in our service where we pause. We take a personal pause to attend to the matters of our own heart. We're going to do this just a little differently over the next few weeks as we try some different things during our online services. So we ask that you take a time during the musical interlude to think about a personal joy or a personal sorrow that you have for yourself or someone that you love. And rather than speaking it, we're going to ask you during the musical interlude to type it into the chat, and so that all of us can see it. And this might make it a lot easier for some who would prefer not to go on camera. And then after we've collected those at the end of the, at a point where it feels right, then our chat chaplain, Preston, will read those aloud. And that way we'll be able to hear the joys and the sorrows that each of us are carrying this day. There will be a time for discussion that will happen during our informal fellowship time following the service. This is a time for us to briefly, in a few words, maybe a sentence at the most, give expression to a joy or a sorrow as you write it into the chat.
And now I will extinguish the chalice with our unison words that we would all like to say together. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living. And now we'll have our closing song, hymn number 18, What Wondrous Love.
I will sing to